Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 528, Among the Lotus Eaters.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we're here again with more... I almost said disco, but it's not disco. Mm-hmm. No disco.
No. This week we're going Among the Lotus Eaters.
You almost sounded like Mr. Van Driessen there.
Oh God, Among the Lotus Eaters.
This week we're going Among the... Butthead, we're going Among the Lotus Eaters.
That's stupid.
You're an idiot.
Okay.
I like the one where Beavis keeps playing with his drill.
I mean, I like most of them, but yes.
Beavis, yeah. Put your drill away.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You thought that Among the Lotus Eaters was a reference to some more kid killing, and
yes,
turns out it's actually from the Odyssey, in which characters eat lotus flowers to forget they wish to go home. So
that makes sense.
I only know from Memory Alpha, which once again, Memory Alpha genuinely a good resource. Like
yeah,
we spent 3 or 4 years or whatever it was bad mouthing the DC wiki because those guys were insufferable, but you know. Memory Alpha, I know I've pointed this out before. I just, every now and then, I'm like, oh, thank goodness there is a good resource to tell me shit that I didn't know myself.
Mm-hmm. What's your ranking, Al? Memory Alpha, the Homestar Wiki, and then the DC Wiki?
Yeah, that's about right. There's a Transformers Wiki that has an incredible sense of humor. I'm sure I've mentioned that one before, too.
Oh, yeah.
That
I don't know much about that because Transformers, but that's good.
Yeah,
shit.
But there's a cartoonist. It's like a web.
Oh, Dave Willis.
That's him who contributed, quite a bit to it. And
yeah,
I think that's partially why is like a guy who's famously funny, like spruced it up a bit or whatever.
If I remember correctly, he said that like yeah, there used to be a Transformers wiki and it was bad, so I made a better one.
Yep. I mean, I like any fandom that doesn't take itself entirely seriously.
Yeah.
And Mary Alpha does, but it's still not, you know, freestanding ladders notwithstanding. Freestanding. It's still, you know, better than most. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't I tell you about Among the Lotus Eaters?
Yeah, why don't you go Among the Lotus Eaters and tell us a tale?
Okay. The Enterprise is returned to Rigel 7, sevenest of the Rigels, to clean up after a disastrous mission that was mentioned in the cage. Specifically, the mission that led Pike to consider resigning his commission from Starfleet because of what a disaster it was. Weirdly, despite my having watched and critically dissected the events of the cage 3 or 4 times on this podcast, I didn't remember the specifics of that mission, but thankfully they got recapped here. Some years ago, Pike, Spock, and a few others did one of those discrete planetary surveys on the roughly Iron Age Rigel 7. And they ended up hightailing it back out of there 3 or 4 hours later, losing a small handful of crew in the process. Why not go back and clean up your mess, offers Starfleet Command. I didn't even know they did that. If only the same leadership had sent Kirk back to SETI Alpha 5, we might have been spared half a century of Khan references.
God,
and in fact, much like that situation, Pike and Apostrophe Squad, Mbanga and La'an, are greeted by an abandoned and bitter crewman downstairs on the planet. He was once the captain's yeoman, and he's since styled himself ruler of this primitive planet. And his name is Zack. Zack the Conqueror. Easily the worst commando name since Firebird. As fake king, Zack is wearing a crown, or a king hat as they are commonly known. And his Zack attack pack are similarly outfitted with metal helmets. This is a relevant detail that both Maggie and I spotted immediately, but it took our heroes some time to work out. In their defense, they all came down with a sort of brain fog, forgot who they are and why they're on this planet, and wake up in a cage. Not the cage, just a cage. They then spend the middle of the episode convinced that they're dirt farmers, despite the clear evidence that Pike in particular has never actually worked a day in his life. Meanwhile, upstairs, the entire crew of the Enterprise also loses their memories, which is not the ideal scenario for a complex piece of machinery that requires hundreds of highly trained people to operate it. This almost certainly creates the Pike-era equivalent of Riker and Roe hooking up. And while that would be pretty hot, it's not as hot as Erica Ortegas, because nothing could be, and so the action shifts to her POV. Gradually, she works out who she is and what she does, This is my quote, by the way, which I will be playing thusly.
I'm Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.
Affirmative.
I'm Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship. Fly the ship? I am Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship. I am Erica Ortegas. I fly the ship.
She moves the ship back to safety. Back on the planet, Pike makes his way back to Castle Zack and nearly murders the little idiot with his bare fucking fists.
Mm-hmm.
Because it turns out those metal hats and also the metal bricks in the castle protect these guys from the great memory lossening. Then Pike gets his memory unlossened, stops murdering, and everyone goes back to normal. Except for Zack, who goes to prison.
Yep. Enjoy prison, Zack.
I hope he doesn't enjoy it. I hope he suffers.
No.
What a little shit.
I want to get this out of the way. I love Zack. He was pathetic.
Oh, no. To be clear, he's one of those love-to-hate characters. I hated him, but I hated him in a way that I found, like, I haven't seen a character like this that I can remember in Star Trek.
Oh, my God. Just the most pathetic, embarrassing, like, you left me to die, which is true. And is probably a valid thing to be mad about, but God, what a little piss baby. They made you king.
And also, it's not like it's a reason to be upset, but it's not, you can't blame him for that because you fully know this planet fucks with your memory. When these guys left, they were probably real foggy, like half drunk and like Zack dead. I think Zack's dead. I think I saw I don't remember. Let's get out of here.
Like I'm pretty sure that guy died, but
Like, that's what the planet does to you, man. You must know that. They didn't do it on purpose.
I also love, like, so they find him because the Starfleet logo, the Delta, gets planted as a bush in some garden, and they're like, oh, God, we're being worshipped as gods again.
Mm-hmm.
They get down to the planet, and Pike's like, Zack, I found the thing so we'd know you were here.
Oh, yeah, he thought it was a signal, yeah.
Ah, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to do that.
No, I just had this cool metal pin, and they said, what a cool metal pin. And I said, yeah, that's my king symbol.
Mm-hmm. He's so pathetic, and his plan is so short-sighted.
Yeah, and so he started out as the captain's yeoman, and this was some years ago, so he's, like, he was a baby when he came to this planet.
Yes.
Junior rank. He's still not very old, so, like, and he really handles it like a petulant teenager.
Yes. You left me. Well, like...
No, I got an army, and we're going to hurt you.
Yep.
But he doesn't try to kill them. Instead, he throws them out into the lose-your-memory woods and says, now you get to toil in the fields. Now you, like...
Yeah, it'll be really funny to watch you toil in the fields and your brains to fall out. Mm-hmm. When Pike comes back and his brain's still fucked... Mm-hmm. And he's just like, where's the box where you kept our memories? And Zack's like, you believe that shit? You dumb idiot. It's really awesome making fun of you when you're a dumb idiot like this.
Mm-hmm. And Pike?
Just a real basket of farts.
That's an expression.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong? No, I'm right.
You're right. Pike gets, like, that scene is brutal, and there's actually a bit in Memory Alpha about how he was, like, Anson Mount and, like, was a little hesitant, and they're like, no, we can shoot, like, he worked with the director, and he's like, we want to show that, like, this is, when he forgets who he is, there's this bubbling underneath, and at first I hated it, because I don't like seeing a captain like this, but then it occurred to me, some of my absolute favorite characters have this under the surface, and the whole point of them is that they're keeping it in check.
Like, exactly.
You know, it's like Sam Vimes. It's like, I don't know. There's other examples too, but like, that's the main one for me. And I find that incredibly relatable because I talk about being a pacifist, but the one of the reasons I'm a pacifist is because I constantly feel like I want to fucking strangle somebody, you know? And like,
I mean,
you gotta keep that in check.
I mean, I get it. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're definitely in the most strangleable era.
Oh, I'm tired. Like, this is my whole life. Like,
oh, sure.
This is not as a reaction to the last 10 years. This is just...
No, I get that, but, like, God knows it can't have made it easier.
No. Thankfully, I had a foundation of several decades of not doing that. But my point is, I relate to characters like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like Pike does have that on some level. But once he kind of came back, he's like, yeah, but no, I'm civilized and I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I got to stop doing this. And I don't know.
I'm not. Yeah. There's a bit like too when he's just beating the shit out of this guy. He's got like this desperate, just give us our memories back. And it's such a good piece of acting too.
Oh, and some, yeah, he fucking he could have just done the fury of the fighting, but there's so much more to it than that.
There's just like, it's sad and just like,
well, and it's pathetic for Zach.
Yeah.
Like it plays out like that bit in Fight Club where Tyler's getting beat up by the owner of the club that they want to use, and he just lets him beat him up, and he's just laughing and laughing. And like, that's Zach. He just keeps laughing and bleeding.
Yep.
And like, it makes you want to hit him more, and then he just keeps laughing and like, so good.
Oh, it's so good.
It was. I enjoyed that part, but my bad thing otherwise... This was a good premise, and I think we both reacted kind of viscerally to the memory angle of it. We could talk about that more in a sec. Like, but looking at your notes and like, we both kind of like, oh yeah, that hit, that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But I got bored with it on the planet after a while because it's sort of a medieval-y setting, and they really are like, each day we shovel fuel for quite a while.
They very much are, yes.
And it's like, I get it, but also shoo. And like, but like, the second we caught up to the ship, I was super into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the situation, the setting. And it turns out, like, again, this was, in the cage, this was when he was considering quitting.
Yeah.
Like, this was the mission he had just failed on. So this happened a while back, but when he goes to Talos IV and he sees visions of a castle, it's this castle. So I think they needed to match that. So my brain is saying this feels like a 60-year-old cliche, and that's because it is.
It probably was, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's cool to do that kind of callback and to say, oh, yeah, we joined them in medias res, like, at the end of a disastrous mission. What if we followed up on that? That's not a bad idea for a plot.
Well, famously, neither of us are the biggest fans of when they go down to a fantasy planet or, like... In this case, not really fantasy, but it's definitely, like, the past
like dark,
planet.
Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, my thing is just like, the episode itself was so good that it can't, for me, it mostly, like, I get what you're talking about. And I definitely had those moments where I was like, all right, get to the fireworks factory.
I saw in your notes a couple weeks ago when we did the courtroom episode, you said, this is my absolute favorite episode. And even still, an hour is too long. I wish this was 40 minutes. And that's kind of how I felt here. If you trimmed out about 15 minutes, I think this episode would have worked. And all of it would have been planet stuff.
My like, other thing when I was thinking about it, because again, I like the character Zach so much. He's so fucking pathetic. Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
And he really only shows up at the beginning of the end. Like, if we had maybe had them like stay in the castle and just have him be like around being a piece of shit, like screwing with people, I think that might have been more interesting.
That could have worked, or if you had spent another beat with like where he ended up, like. Bring him on the ship and do another scene or something.
Yeah,
that actor did a really good job. Like,
oh, he did.
Because I hated him.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fucking Kylo Ren effect. It was like, oh, you little entitled piece of shit.
You piece of shit.
Uh-huh. It was good. But you also, this is your good thing, you liked the other guy, the guy they befriended when they were shoveling fuel.
So there's a guy on the planet named, I guess, Luke, I think?
It's L-U-Q, apparently. But you had no way of knowing that. I just looked it up in Memory Alpha, but it's Luke. It's effectively just Luke.
You sure it's not spelled L-U-U-K-E?
Well, no, he's not a clone, Maggie. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, we do, because he doesn't have double letters. That's how you know. That's the indicator.
No, that is true.
Oh, shit. Am I a clone?
I mean, they're not yous. You might be safe.
Okay. Anyway.
I'd check into this if I were you.
Yeah. I think I'm a clone now. I don't want to find the other guy and have a saw your own clone coma, you know.
Oh, yeah. I just like, if it turns out you're a clone, we could be doing this for the next like 5 years or something. Like,
clone
sagas famously take forever to resolve.
Oh, God. Yeah, but they're so complicated. I don't want to get into all that. I don't want to be drawn by Todd McFarlane.
You wish.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Luke.
That was some Mark Bagley stuff, man.
Oh, you're right. It was. It was.
Yep. Anyway, I find the character of Luke extremely fascinating and also very sad. He's
I didn't talk about him at all, so you need to. No. Like, could you back up and tell people, like, what is.
So basically, our guys are in the cage, and this dude wanders up and goes, like, okay, these guys had a real rough forgetting. Like, they forgot everything. Mm-hmm. So. I'm going to sort of stick around and I'll explain the rules of society to you. And he kind of makes a really good, like, he sums up the world that these people live on really well by just like, yes, we all forget every night, but like the stuff that's important, the feelings you have, like those last and you have to latch onto those. Like, things are fleeting, but how you feel is like you can't change who you are, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And he represents that society so well. Like,
no, as a narrative tool, he's great. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, we need someone to explain this to us. And he does it in a way that doesn't feel like exposition. It feels mm-hmm. like I've lived through this and I'm like, it's rough, but you'll make it. And like, yeah, it's good.
There's a bit where La'an attacks a guard who's like, the guards are just being assholes and like fucking hitting people with sticks, and our mm-hmm. guys are like, stop hitting people with sticks, you stupid slavers.
Mm-hmm.
But La'an gets stabbed, so they take her back to his hut to get her stitched up.
Yeah, and thankfully Mbenga remembers a little about being a doctor, so he's
well. That's sort of the basis of the episode, is that like who you are baked down is like what'll take over. So like when someone's hurt, Mbenga like runs up to help them, which I love.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But Pike's basically like, we can't live like this. We're going to go attack the castle and find out, like, we're going to get everybody's memories back and find out, like, what mm-hmm. why they're different than us. And mm-hmm. the guy's basically, like, he's like, don't fight. Like, you shouldn't do that. It's dangerous. But if you're going to, I will help you. And Pike's mm-hmm. like, why? And he's like, because you have a really strong feeling about this. And if you have that feeling, it's important. And if it's important, I'm going to help you.
Yep.
And like, there's just something about that I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's also good. Like, yeah, he talks about how like, so they have this cool thing where they tattoo themselves with like who they are. So your name's on your arm.
Yeah, it's the memento thing. Like, here's the things you have to remember.
Yes. Watch out for Joey Pants is what mm-hmm. it says.
He
talks about how like he thinks he had a family, but he blotted them out so that he wouldn't remember them.
Yeah, part of his tattoo is basically scratched out, like he ran a Sharpie over it.
Yeah. You didn't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like whatever it was too painful for me to remember. So like I know that there's something, but I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And he's so certain about that. They're going to the castle and they're like, we're going to find your memories too and bring them back to you. And he's like, I don't want them. Whatever this was, like, I was right to do it.
There's there's a really good conversation between him and Mbenga about that where, and they don't mention his daughter, but it's obviously there. It's obviously under the, and that was some good subtle, like anytime they don't hit you over the head with it, where it's you know, where you have to figure it out yourself. It's like, oh yeah, he does need to remember things. Like his daughter's okay, but he's lost her. So he's still carrying all that with him. And it's important to, like, if his daughter had just gone away and he'd forgotten her, that would be terrible. He needs to remember. And he has to tell this other guy, no, it's like, having pain is pointless if you don't have any context for it, man.
Exactly. And just like, he's just like, yeah, like this is bad, but like, I can't not carry it. It's also important.
Yeah.
But so they go to the castle. They don't, there's no box with the memories in them. The castle's just full of metal, brain metal.
The ritual or the fucking stories passed down that say, yeah, our memories are just in a box. That's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. No.
Put memories in it. What are you talking about?
Yeah. My memory box.
Uh-huh.
That was a metaphor. What's a metaphor?
Mm-hmm. I forgot English class.
Uh-huh. How is it different from a simile?
Mm-hmm. Well, it uses like or as. What's like or as?
But so they get back. And their memories are come back, and Luke's in there too. And there's like, how are you? And he's like, I was wrong. I was wrong the whole time. It's really important to know all this. And I just, mm-hmm. that whole character, and we only have him for this one episode, and just like, he's fucking fascinating.
I didn't like him as much as you, but I generally agree. Like, and I like when we're on a planet and we spend time with someone and we get to know them long enough where it's like, this had a point. This wasn't just because a body had to be there. Like, this is a guy. And I'm like, but I just, because of the setting, I think, and it's not specifically the castle. It's just the primitive, like, I'm watching a space show. Why am I watching people hitting shit with hammers?
No, that's completely understandable. I just, the stuff I like outweighed that. Still, like, I'm going to agree. Every time we went back to the planet, I'm like, oh, fucking Stonehenge or whatever. But like, it always won me back. There was always something interesting going on down there.
Yes.
This is my bad thing.
Uh-huh.
So the guys go out to the guys are basically working in the field, and Pike and Lon are identified as stone cutters.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to deciding who controls the British crown, they also hit a rock with hammers all day.
Mm-hmm.
And Mbenga works with wood, which means that he is he just sort of stands off to the side looking vaguely baffled and trying to saw his way through one tree.
See, I wouldn't consider that a bad thing. I think that's a reflection of these guys are not suited to this kind of labor. He does not know, like, the kind of cutting he does is with probably a laser, but maybe also a scalpel. Like, he doesn't know how to saw.
Take a saw and saw him.
Mm-hmm.
No, they cut to him a couple of times, and he just sort of stands just like, saw? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could see a question mark appearing over his head, basically.
I saw?
Mm-hmm.
But then when Lon gets stabbed, he's just like, out of my way, saw!
Mm-hmm.
There's doctor shit to do.
I am starting to come around on Lon because they're letting up on the Goni monsters, and like we liked most of the last episode with her and Herc, like, and this episode I had no problem with her. What I'm real tired of, and this is basic storytelling that happens in everything always. It's not that. It's that it's a specific. It's like crashing a shuttle. Like, I was kind of stunned when they take the shuttle to the planet and it just lands. I'm like, that's not how those work. Because every shuttle we've seen for the last, you know, 900 episodes crashes every single time.
Yeah.
So it was refreshing to see that. But this is another one of those cliches where I'm like, could you stop doing this? Where you bring a landing party down and one of them is incapacitated immediately and the whole story hinges on making them better. Like, you've done this. This is boring.
See, here's the thing I thought was really interesting with this is that Lon, because of all of her fucking, like, macho bullshit.
Yeah.
When stuff starts going weird, she's real vague. Like, she's like, I had tinnitus and, like, my head hurts and stuff. But she doesn't say that she lost 6 hours of travel time.
No, they're trying to work through what happened, and she's trying to, like, you're right. She's trying to,
I'm fine. I got this.
I'll just rub some dirt in it, take a salt tablet.
I don't get sick.
Nope.
Good. Cool.
Nope,
cool,
I'm cool, good. Cool. Meanwhile, they cut back up to the ship, and the same thing starts happening to Uhura, who's, like, monitoring signals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and number one gives her an order, and she's like, didn't you ask me to do this other thing? And she's like, I asked you to do that other thing, like, 2 hours ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. And Uhura is just like, uh-oh.
Yeah. And she
something's wrong.
You're right. She throws up the red flag immediately, which is
great. Yeah.
There's a whole little thread of her going to sickbay, and again, good storytelling, because this could just be exposition, but they play it out through character, and it works so much better, because Chapel's explaining, like, here's what I think is going wrong. Her brain, like you see, even if you don't know anything about science or biology or medicine, like neither of us do. I don't want to speak for you, but I think I don't know anything about science
or biology or medicine.
I wish I did, but every time they try to explain it to me, my eyes glaze. It's because it's usually technobabble and it's not real, so I just this doesn't matter. But I do know when you look at a picture of a brain, a 3D model of a brain on a screen, and every part of it is lit up in various shades of red, probably something is very wrong. So they did a good job there. But they did a really good job of, one, Chapel being concerned and then slowly losing her mind while it's happening. Mm-hmm. And two, Uhura being very concerned and then getting some drugs and being like, well, yep, this sucks, but I'll be okay. And then, like, they're like, oh, a whole bunch of people are reporting memory loss. And she's like, well, get in line. I got the good drugs.
there's a great bit where they're trying to figure out what's happened. And Chapel's like, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? She goes, same thing I always have, oatmeal. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they get the message that, like, five other people don't forget stuff. And you just cut to her lying in bed, kind of dreamily going, guess it wasn't the oatmeal.
Yep. Which is, it's not exactly like her, but under drugs it is.
Oh, yeah.
Cute. It's like I say, it giving, like, putting specific character stuff in there means she's just not reading off a list of, like, technobabble for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's character driven, and I like that. Which kind of ties to my good thing. So,
yeah, please.
And I mentioned this in my summary, and it was my quote, but Ortega, like, this is the thing I remembered about this. This is the thing most people remember about this episode, I think. People I've talked to, anyway. Like,
I'm Eric Ortega's I Fly the Ship.
Yes, that.
Yeah.
Like, I love that she is the one person who manages to keep her shit together. Like, we see, at its worst, the entire ship. Like, she and Spock are the only ones on the bridge, and Spock is basically worthless at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And she manages to get off, and she manages to sort of stumble onto the turbo lift. And because it's voice activated, she gets to the deck where her quarters are. And so we're in the corridor where there are, you know, like you would see in the original series, dozens of people. And they're all staggering around, basically bumping into walls like lost Roombas. Or like,
it's a really upsetting shot, honestly.
Oh, yeah. There's a dude curled in a fetal position, like, as soon as she gets out of the, like, they're rough. And she's doing bad, too. But she's pushing through it. She's freaking out, but the whole time she's asking questions. She's saying,
yes.
Like, she doesn't know it's the computer, but she does know there's a friendly voice helping her. So she's like, where is home? And the it does the thing where it lights up the path, and she goes to her quarter and is like, this seems familiar. Who drives the ship? And the computer says, you do. And I do. Shit. Okay. Go ahead.
The fucking read on, I drive the ship?
Well, that was, like, that's part of my, like, the whole quote.
Oh, starts, okay.
It's the progression of her first going, I drive the ship? And by the end of it, she's like, I drive the ship.
Yep.
And it's such a good evolution of, like, becoming more confident. But before that moment, she's just, like, everyone else up through the ranks, including number one, are just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, ask questions, push forward, find answers. Who's responsible? I'm responsible. Get it together. And she saves the day. And it's so good.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
Like, we've been waiting for her focus episode. And I don't think this exactly counts, but she sure got a great moment.
I mean, this is better than most of the other, like, she's always been around and she's always awesome. But, like,
no, this is the most we've gotten of her for sure.
Yeah. And it's great. It's just like, oh, yeah, this is the character. She rules. I love this character.
Back when we were doing Kids Love Batman and I talked about, I always enjoy a superhero story where they lose their powers and you find out who they really are.
Yep.
Like the Superman one where he's in the future. Like,
yeah.
It's the same here. Like, when you take away people's memories and you find out, like, what's underneath, and Erica is still a problem solver and a hero, even though, like, she doesn't remember who she is, but she knows, I'm here for a purpose. Somebody has to fix this. Realizing it's her, and she's like, okay, I have to fix this. I'm going to go fix this. And it's so good.
She walks onto the bridge just with all this confidence and stuff. And Spock's like, oh, God, you know, you look like you know what you're doing. And she's like, I think I do.
And then her hands just start like, well, there's a great runner because she thinks she's going on the away mission. And it turns out she can't because someone has to navigate through this bullshit. And then on the bridge, she's going to navigate through the bullshit. And number one's like, nah, I'll do it. And so she keeps getting her agency stolen from her.
Yeah.
And
so
that was a nice subtle build to when it turns around and she's the only one who can save the day.
It's like, this is my job. Like, I'm literally the pilot. Like, why? Like, either let me pilot or give me the other thing I want to do. But don't. I don't want to walk Uhura down to sick bay. We have yeomans for that.
I'll do it. We, you know, she needs a buddy, but
yeah,
I want to drive.
I want to fly.
Yep. It's cool. And the whole bit at the beginning where she thinks she's going, like, they're all putting on their indigenous costumes, and she thinks she's going to, there's a hat that everyone thinks is too stupid to wear, and she's like, no, you got to wear the hat. It's part of the thing.
Yeah, and it's a good it's hat. Cute.
She even has a great little line. She's like, we're going to have ourselves a landing party. And
yep.
I'm like, that's so cute.
Yep.
And she's so disappointed, but also professional. And Pike, the way he lets her down is like, I know you wanted to go. He doesn't just say, stay here. He takes a moment to say, I know you really had your heart set on this. You'll go on the next one, I promise.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's such a good dad leader. Like,
well, I can.
You got to do the right thing, but you also got to make her feel good, you know?
Well, I can absolutely see the, like, the fucking conversation they had at, like, their yearly meeting or whatever, where it's like, you're one-on-one. It's like, look, I love piloting and everything, but, like, I want to get down. I want to go and do away missions. It's like, yeah, we can bring on away missions. That's fine. We'll put you in rotation.
Watching Uhura do the whole rotation to all the different departments made me realize I've never done some of this stuff either, and I'd really like to.
Like, yes, I'm here for pilot, like, I'm piloting, but, you know, like, there's other stuff. We're Starfleet. Yeah. We're very busy.
Cross-training is good, though. You gotta, because, for instance, maybe the entire ship except you are gonna, like, lose their memories.
Well, what are the odds of that ever happening?
That's
Uh-oh.
True. Or they all turn into something. Or they all, you know, like, there's so many options where it's, like, it's so much better to just, like, you know, like, be able to do basic shit in all the different parts of the ship. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Shit. And again, I wouldn't say this episode is about her.
No.
But she had a moment, and I hope she gets more. Like, I'd love to get more into her backstory, too. But, like, it's still good to finally see her, like, take the spotlight for a minute.
Yeah. I learned this week that she's from Colombia.
Ah, yes. I missed that, but I think you must have seen it on the pad.
There's a close up of her personnel file, and I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, let's have a look at this.
I did notice that her file picture is fucking great. Like, I don't know, it's just a particularly good picture of her. It's like she went to a photographer and got headshots and like, put this in my file, please. Don't use that shitty blurry one you took. Use this one.
It's class photo day.
Got the laser background.
Yep. I'm going to say this. This is very brief, but I was kind of disappointed that, like, her quarters don't just look like everybody else's quarters with, like, models of ships and stuff. Anyone in this entire show has fucking, like, some kind of weird alien band poster, it's Erica Ortega's, and I wish I could have seen that.
I could see that. On the other hand, I feel like she keeps herself real busy and probably doesn't spend much time in her quarters.
That's probably true. It's just like
it's a missed opportunity.
The quarters are always the same. It just feels like, you know, this is a different personality than your usual captains and stuff. Like,
you're right.
Let's do something different for once, please.
No, and back in the day, that was a budget thing.
Like, oh yeah,
we don't have the prop budget to really fill this out, and we don't really have the resources to commit set designers to making, like, special sets for this guy you're going to see once or whatever. But now, one, you have massive teams of people working on this. Two, you have nerds combing through this shit. Like, it seems like these days you would do a better job of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get you. But
just, you know, throw up a Vulcan rock concert poster or something. I don't know. It doesn't have to be much.
Yeah.
I've seen the little gold ships so many times. Like, everyone has them.
You're not wrong.
And it's not even like she's a pilot. She probably likes fast ships, but like, show us something else.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
What else?
What else? Let's have a look here. I really like this one.
Yeah. Like I said, if you could cut 10, 15 minutes out of it, I think it would have been a top tier episode, but now it's going to at the top of the middle, I would say. It was like a B. Not the insect, like the letter B.
No, it's a like bee. It's a little bee.
Yes. Like that time a bee got in here.
Big bee's still out there. Is that it? I thought
that
I had more to say. I'm going over my notes here.
Yeah, same. Just a lot of me yelling about Zach. There's definitely, if like it might be too soon because I think this episode only dropped 2 or 3 years ago, but at some point there's going to be a follow-up story about Zach, right?
I mean, there's got to be.
He's in Starfleet custody, and then I don't know, something.
Yeah. He's such an interesting character. Like, bring this piece of shit back, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's got, like, the thing is, he's not like Garth of Izar or Khan or whatever, because he's just some shit. But, I don't know.
That's the kind of character I like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like I say, like Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Just, Zach.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like that his name was Zach, but other than that. It's such a 90s kid. Everyone named their kid this in the 80s, and so the 90s kids were all named Zach, like, kind of thing. But that's just me.
See,
I don't know.
I just kind of like that it's like a real generic name. Like, he calls himself, like, fucking Zacharias the fucking Unconquerable or whatever.
Yeah.
And Pike's just like, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm. What? No. Go back to getting my coffee, Zach.
Yeah. Weren't even a very good yeoman.
No.
How do you fuck up coffee? We have replicators.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
Oh, yeah.
They have food.
We have those things that spit out red cubes.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone eating red cubes on this show?
I don't think so. They mostly just eat regular food. Like, they might have brought the replicators back and, like,
Well,
just don't talk about it. Sort of like how there's always a holodeck.
Yeah, thankfully they haven't done much of that on this show, at least yet.
Yeah.
But there is, they do have the communicator badges, which I don't, well, they're not communicators, but they are badges. Like, they're not sewn into the uniform. They're metal pins.
No, I've seen the gold badges.
Yeah, I know. No, those are black badges.
Oh.
I haven't
seen
those.
They're a secret.
Mm-hmm. Shh. It's just magic. But it's one of those little things where it's like, they didn't have metal. Okay, shut up. Shut up, Al.
Yeah.
Just enjoy the show. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it does look good. There, occasionally, these uniforms, like, I like them so much better than what they started out with the dumb collar things they had on Disco.
But
there's a weird, and it's really evident in the last scene where Pike's talking to his girlfriend, which we haven't talked about at all. That's a whole bookending thing.
Oh, Batel, yeah.
Yeah, where there's a seam that goes down either side, and if they're standing, like, at a certain angle, it looks really awkward to me. It looks badly sewn, and I know it isn't, but it's just, like, I shouldn't be looking at the big, like, vertical seam on your uniform, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, there's a whole thing where Batel shows up. So Batel, seriously, how old do you think she is?
She looks real fucking young. Like,
there's no way she's older than 40, right?
No.
I would guess mid-30s, but I'm not great at this game. But she just got turned down for a promotion to Commodore. Mm-hmm. She's too young for that.
This has got to be like one of those Trek things where she's like actually 45 or whatever, but just like it's the future, so everyone looks kind of better.
That could be. It's just one of the big deals about Kirk was that he was the youngest captain in history. Like,
yeah. At, what, 35, 30?
He was like 35, yeah. So, like, I feel like she's about that same age, and she expected to be lifted to Commodore. It's just like, I don't think it's your time yet. Like, I don't know much about you. Maybe you earned it, but you just seem a little young. And
that's the thing. She's alternately extremely important, but also never around, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind that she comes and goes. In fact, that's the whole point of their relationship is like, can we make this work when we barely get to see each other?
Yeah.
And they realize she might have gotten passed up because the Vulcan guy in the trial episode is getting back at her for losing the case.
Yeah.
And so Pike basically says, fuck, that was my fault. I cost you this promotion. Maybe we should break up. And she does not like that. And she storms out, which is fair. He could have handled that better.
It's not the bet, like, she just got off the phone with like captain stuff.
We got getting turned down for a promotion, hearing bad news, and then her boyfriend says, maybe we should break up. Like, Jesus, 1-2 punch.
How about I pile on? And also, she just got him a real nice gift.
Yes, she got him this ancient, like, what was it? It was like a metal, medallion kind of thing. It's like for old sailors, and
it was some kind of metal or amulet or whatever. This is the kind of stuff Pike likes.
Yeah, it's old sailor shit. Like, you know, like a classic Star Trek captain would be into. And he he has it the whole time he's downstairs on the planet, and he forgot everything, and he's like, I know this is important. And at the end, he says, okay, first of all, I fucked up. I don't break up with you. I'm sorry.
Mm.
Second, this thing you gave me does bring sailors home because I'm back. And like,
yes,
that was good. I liked that a lot. And I enjoy her. I know what's coming because I've read some spoilers, and it sounds real stupid. Hopefully they handle it better than I thought.
I don't love that.
Yeah. But we'll get there soon enough. I think it's early season 3, which is not long from now. But for now, I don't hate the idea of, like, because we've seen captains. Have we seen captains try to date other captains? I don't know if we have.
I don't think we have. They must have done something with Kirk at some point, but like.
No, because there were no women captains, remember? They made a big
deal. No, you're right. I'm thinking of like either books or comics.
Yeah. But in the shows, I don't think.
No.
Like, it feels like they have, but I can't think of an example. Maybe I'm wrong. Picard tried to date someone like under his command, and that went bad. Sisko dated a captain of a civilian freighter.
Yeah.
Janeway didn't really get to date.
Who was her guy? But was he a captain or anything? Was he even in Starfleet? I'm not sure.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't in Starfleet.
No.
Or if he was, they never said it.
Yeah.
And who cares what Archer got up to?
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
But even like there were no captains then. He was the only one. So like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Michael. No, I don't think any.
Yeah,
of the
I don't think so.
Did. But so it's an interesting thing to explore. And the fact is, this shit keeps you busy. And like in the beginning, they're trying to like have dinner together. They're not even trying to fuck. They're just trying to have dinner together. And it's like first his bridge calls and he's like, only if it's an emergency. Then her bridge calls and she's like, only if it's the Admiral. And then his bridge calls because it is an emergency, and her bridge calls because it is the Admiral.
Yep.
Fuck, man. And it's like, this would be their life.
Yeah.
And
it's like, come on, guys, my pasta pile's getting cold.
Yeah. I'm into you, but also this is nigh impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I could like, it's an interesting sort of conflict. And also he knows I can have this great relationship for the next 10 years or whatever it is, but then that's it. Like,
yeah.
Then I'm going to box.
There's definitely, like, an end to this.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I like it. And I like her. Like, I don't mind the performer. She just feels young to me. That's the only...
You are absolutely correct. The other thing is, like, we know this can't last because he ends up with Vina.
Yeah, but that's a while from now. And also...
That is true.
That's basically because that's the only person he can be with. He's not in love with her, I don't think.
I mean, but. I don't know. You seem cool the first time I met you, whatever that deal was. Maggie hasn't seen the episode in a while.
Mm-hmm.
These brain guys seem...
again.
Yeah, these brain guys will probably make it cool.
These observers.
Yeah.
Well, they've evolved beyond the need for bodies, but they need bodies to carry their brains.
Yeah.
But no, I like it. Like I say, my only problem with her is like she feels a bit young, but she's up to the task. Like,
oh yeah,
she's got the gravitas of a leader, and I don't feel like Pike is like he could necessarily do a lot better. Like she's all right. She's just not around much.
Yeah,
but that's kind of the point.
So. Yeah, it just like all I remember is like when I was first watching this. Wait, who are you again? Have we seen her before? And that's partly me, you know.
I think we benefit from watching these fairly close together because I have the same problem, especially the way shows work now where they'll drop 10 episodes and go away for a year and come back. Like, I never remember, even with a previously on, I'm like, who's that guy? And so,
who's that guy? Well, I was saying, who's that guy?
Yep. But us doing one a week means it's never too far from my memory. Mm. And, you know, if I get a little shaky, I go back to our old documents and say, oh, right, that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. You'd think I'd be better at this after so long, but, you know, we used to watch a lot of serialized television, or we used to watch a lot of individual episodes of television, and now we watch all serialized television.
Yeah, most of it's done pretty badly.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
So far, the way this show does it, I'm enjoying. It's the sort of the old, it's the old Buffy model, which is mostly episodic with some, like, you know, running plots that come up every now and then.
That's always kind of been my go-to, you know?
Yeah, because there are things that have long-term consequences. You want to think that things matter and they resonate, but also you don't want to have to remember every single detail every fucking week.
There are certain shows that work best with the serialized thing, and there's certain shows that work best with, like,
yes,
being Monster of the Week or whatever episodes. Well, having, and Star Trek does Monster of the Week better.
Having an open concept of we're looking around and what are we going to find kind of lends itself to something different happens every week, you know?
Whereas
with DS9, I mean, this is, I was not the first to point this out, and we talked about it a lot when we covered it, but the whole point with DS9 was they don't go anywhere, so everything they do stays in their lap always, and so they have to deal with it, and that's why it was more serialized.
You can't ditch Khan. He lives over there.
Yeah, exactly. And, Captain, you know.
Captain Kai wins here again.
Yep. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, next time is an episode called Charades, which is a wacky Vulcan episode.
I believe you'll find it's pronounced charades, so.
I believe go fuck yourself.
Charade you are, Maggie.
That was harsher than I meant, but I believe shut up. Let's walk it back to that.
No, we'll go to shut up. This would be a real shut up situation.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. The website is ever postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, it is postatomichorror@gmail. Patreon is patreon.com/Algar. You get all the great stuff for a buck a month, blah, 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 blah. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2026. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.